Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. All right, today in our studio, guess who we have back? Mary Hayes Greco.
Hey, so Mary. Glad to be back. Thank you.
Yes. Well, just to remind our listeners, she's the author of Unconditional Forgiveness and The New Kitchen Mystic. She's also the founder and director of the Midwest Institute for Forgiveness Training and has taught people how to forgive for over 25 years. Her work has taken her all over the world. And if you're having difficulty, you know, forgiving someone, connect with Mary. I mean, she is profoundly gifted. She's an amazing healer, and she's got wisdom beyond anyone's years that could possibly be living right now.
Oh, Nancy, my goodness. I feel like I've got a fan over there.
Oh, totally.
But I would like to just tell people it's very easy to connect with my forgiveness work, whether you're ready to come see me personally or not, they can get on forgivenesstraining.com and learn all about this 8 steps to forgiving another person and also how to forgive yourself and how to forgive God if you're having a bad patch of life and you're feeling a little, you know, away from your spiritual source. So there's my book and audio book that are helpful. And there's workshops. My institute has 4 workshops a year. And our next one will be in November in St. Paul, November 18th. It's a weekend workshop. And it'll change your life.
Oh,
right, Nancy?
Good.
You were there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it'll change it forever.
Well, the thing is, because it's permanent. It's a permanent change. Whatever story you take through the forgiveness process, it doesn't come back and bother you the next week because it's dissolved. It is transformed.
Yeah.
So it's not an adaptive process. It's not something you're going to have to talk to yourself about for the next 10 years. It actually leaves your body and your energy and your spirit, and you can move on and think about other things.
Yeah, because you have no desire to revisit that again because
right.
it's finished. It's complete.
It's complete. And the reason that people hold on to resentments and whine about things over and over and over in their minds is that they just don't have the understanding of, first of all, that forgiveness is for us. It's so that we can live our purposes joyfully. And mm-hmm. we can be free.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter the injustice of the crime, the size of the crime that you're forgiving. It's really that's the other person's problem if they hurt you with bad behavior. You can completely heal your wound with this step-by-step process of self-healing and move forward. So usually my teacher used to say it isn't hard to forgive. You just need to know how.
Well, and with the horrific terror attack in Orlando, your forgiveness workshop and also your materials are so helpful. Like when I heard this crime committed, I was just like stunned mm-hmm. and sat with prayer, you know, mm-hmm. like profoundly, like
you felt called to put some good energy into the world and into the human community. You felt called to bear witness to the loss and the grief of people. And to, I always feel whenever something like that happens, I just feel like I just bump up my commitment to being a good person, doing good things. That's all I have the power to do.
Yeah.
I really don't even have the power to help people that are starving on the other side of the world or in war zones or even Orlando. I don't even know anyone in Orlando, but I have the power to be a really good person here in South Minneapolis, where I live, and to do world peace as I go along, you know, person by person.
Oh, thank you. That's really comforting. Yeah, I'm going to take that on.
Yeah, we only have to be healers for the people that God puts right in front of us. You know, it's like you're the white blood cell that's bringing, you know, healing to the pain and the diseased body of humanity. You can't run around doing the whole body. You just do this one little part.
Yeah.
It's yours. The people that come to your space and they want what you have, then you give it to them with your whole heart. And then you let go. And you have to assume that in other spaces like Orlando or other places that are suffering, that there are healers there that are all in, and they're bringing their love and their gifts to that situation. We can't be everywhere, and we can't be everything to everyone. But from our own space, we can pray, we can see the good in people, we can believe in humanity anyway.
Yeah.
We can believe in us anyway, because we're amazing.
Yeah, right. Well, that's beautiful. Mm. Well, and if our listeners remember from our last conversation, you grew up in Chicago. You had kind of a psychic visionary dream in 1997 when you were 22 years old that kind of shook you up and that drew you to action.
1977, yes. Well, the dream that brought me to Minneapolis, is that what you're talking
yes.
about? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was in 77, and it just kind of brought me to my home. I've been in Minneapolis ever since, so that's, you know, almost 40 years. And I've been with a wonderful man almost that whole time, too. So that was the gift of that dream. And I have to forgive it every winter in February. I think, why am I living here? But, okay. This is where all the nice people are making all this good, healthy, holistic stuff that we do around here.
Yes, exactly.
Just gotta find that Mexico vacation.
And your philosophical discussions that you had at age 8 and experimenting with unconditional love and forgiveness. So it just feels so solid, like you were born to do this work.
I think so, yeah. I think I really, really always loved people. Like in first grade, I remember looking at this little boy who always had this horrified expression on his face. He always looked like he's something terrible was happening to him in his life. And I just remember looking at him across the room thinking, how do you help that kid? You know, what does he need? What's going on in there? And how do you help him get that out and be happy? I was always thinking about suffering. How do you end emotional suffering?
Yeah.
Because there was plenty of it around.
Yeah. And it's through this work.
Forgiveness is like, I'm like a one song woman here with you. Forgiveness is it. You know, this is born again forgiveness over here.
There's no shortcuts.
Well, the thing is, it just really is so key. It's so central. And, we need to forgive life situations. We need to forgive life disappointments. We need to forgive specific relationships that were hard on us and specific things in our good relationships that we don't prefer, you know?
Yeah,
your
right.
roommate, your sister, your husband, your wife. There's things like, oh, God, they're still doing that. Oh, I wish they would stop. And every time you find yourself resenting something, you're grinding your own gears and causing stress in your body. And forgiveness releases that and helps you love life and people as they are.
I've noticed about forgiveness when I'm noticing other people's natural, normal idiosyncrasies,
mm-hmm.
like my husband's or my daughter's, and kind of focusing on that. That's my first indication that I've got something bigger going on within myself.
When the little things are bugging you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then I'm like, okay, I got to go inside.
Right. Because when you're really good with them in your hearts, you can like get through a lot of messy things that are lightweight. You can sort of, you know, let them go as you go along. But if there's something that needs to get on the table, then those little things start really bugging you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You've got so much wisdom. I just love tapping into it. And I love that you learned from your mother the love of your work and loving the service that you do, mm-hmm. and like how she saved lives, how she used her hands to save people's lives, and how you saw that and used that passion to do something with your hands.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about the hands part, but that's true. I'm very hands-on.
Yes, you are.
I am usually like petting people a little bit and touching them comfortingly as they're crying, and I get more hugs than anyone that you've met probably coming and going from my work, because people are so they're just so grateful and appreciative that, you know, as I feel like I just get, I get a lot of love. I get a lot of recognition from people for,
yeah,
because they actually feel like I saved their life. And maybe it was just, this was a divorce story, or it was a job firing story, or it was something, but it's been something that's been hurting them like a thorn in their foot for 6 weeks or 6 years or longer.
You're like a surgeon for the heart, you know, with, you know, spiritually.
Yeah, I do tell people after we do a big session, I say, okay, now this was a little outpatient surgery we just did. So you need to be a little post-op for the next 3 days. Let's not put yourself in stressful situations. Let's get extra rest. Let's drink a lot of water. Let's do some journaling and praying. Let's let this integrate and let this new piece that you're feeling set like a new floor. When you put a new floor in and the grout is still a little wet and damp, and you don't let people walk on it until it sets. So after we do a big piece of forgiveness work, I tell people to like let it integrate. Take 3 days.
Yeah, and don't overprocess it with words.
Yeah, just feel the peace and keep reminding yourself that you can be new now, that you can move forward. And it's surprising the little changes that come in people's life circumstances that they didn't realize were connected to the forgiveness issue. And all these, all of a sudden, these other things are working better. So a health problem clears up, and they didn't realize, oh, I didn't know that my colitis had to do with hating my ex, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But turns out that I've had it for as long as I've been hating him, you know, when I look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things like that. Or like talking about creativity, resentments being a block in creativity. I worked with a man who had to forgive his wife, who had really, really betrayed him terribly and put him through a really unfair, brutal divorce. And he was so mad. He was so mad. He was having fantasies of slashing her tires and breaking her windows and, you know, shaking her within an inch of her life because he was so mad. And so we did 2 sessions, and I helped him get that rage out and forgive her and forgive himself. And that after the second session, he had this great big dream where he suddenly felt like his creativity was back, and he could now get a new job. He could now find a better apartment. He could sell that old thing they'd been trying to sell. It's like everything that had been stuck and he hadn't been able to move with cleared up when he forgave his wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally
things happen
can,
on the ground.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Change on the ground once you change the inner workings.
Yeah, exactly. So if you kind of had these inner workings going on at an early age, when you got here at age 22, had you gone through some other higher education courses, or where did you, what happened after high school?
Okay, I went to 5 years of college and didn't graduate because I was kind of living life, living large, you know, going to jazz clubs and majoring in sex in college. You know, it was like this during those days, you know, the sexual revolution time. And, you know, I had a lot of boyfriends, and I was just really, you know, wasn't very serious about college. And so I got up here, and a year or two later, I finished college here at Metro State University. But I was always following, I don't know, my passion for life. But I would say that I hadn't done any personal work, and I had been through a lot of loss and trauma throughout my life, that when I got here, one of the first things I did was get into therapy. And I've been, you know, in and out of therapy ever since, you know. Haven't needed it lately, but therapy and body work and 12-step groups, and, you know, this is the place, this is the land of 10,000 groups and healers, you know, you can get better here in the Twin Cities, it's all here. And so I was just pretty serious about healing myself from the minute I got here until this minute.
And what did you get your degree in?
Oh, I think I have a degree in psychology.
Oh.
And a bachelor's, I call it a bachelor's in something, but I believe it's psychology.
Okay.
And I did more extensive training with my teacher. I did a real hands-on mentorship for 10 years with her before she turned me loose with this forgiveness work. And then I did just a lot of spiritual studies. I mean, I went to an ashram, you know, and meditation, six times over, you know, once in India and several times into New York. And I was always studying spiritual things. So
sure.
I would say my background is eclectic.
So when we met in 2000, well, we met before that. We met in 1997. And then in 2001, you were finishing up.
You were helping me with a business plan.
Yes.
Yes.
And you were doing some writing along with that.
I was probably working on my second version of The Kitchen Mystic at the time. And I was probably trying to figure out how to, you know, just get more work, speaking and doing workshops and...
Yeah, kind of shaping your work and bringing it. You've always had a strong vision for bringing this to the world.
I guess so, yeah.
And you've always been kind of concerned about how to do the practical elements of it, like how to do that, which...
Well, it's mostly how to get the word out there about this work and how to encourage people to do it. The thing is that forgiveness as a concept is not a sexy concept. Really, I mean, there are people who've heard about me and my work for 10 years before they pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Because there's so much resistance towards it and so much misunderstanding about it. So I've been trying to, you know, help the public in America have a better understanding of what forgiveness is and isn't. And, you know, to that end, I've been interviewed many times and I've been on radio and TV and done talks here and there and stuff. It's still kind of an uphill climb, and really it's a hard topic to fill the room with.
Yeah.
So my workshops are always, I always call this God's idea. So I always want to have a workshop with, you know, 45 to 90 people in it, and for 27 years I have workshops with 15 people in them every time. And I call this God's idea because, in fact, I think the Army, the U.S. Army has determined that 15 is the ideal number of people for a troop, you know, because it's like big enough that you have enough, you know, talent and intelligence in the room, but it's small enough that you can develop camaraderie and friendship and community. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I do loads of marketing or if I do no marketing. I have 15 people in that room. And so I have a little bit of kind of a... Part of me is peaceful and part of me is in despair all the time about, you know, the marketing part of my business, because I just feel like I've tried so many things and it's just steady as she goes. I have my 15 people in the room and in fact, they all get healing and maybe that's all, you know, that could actually realistically be managed. So this is what we were talking the other day about God's plan. I've done three business plans at like every five years I did a business plan, and oh man, I did the research and I had all these ideas and whatever, and oh, then life would just do what it did, and then the next thing I wouldn't have the capacity to do these three things that I was really gonna do, and the next thing after that God had a different idea and it was amazing. So, you know, I had a surprise baby when I was 42, and she was 11 pounds. Thank you very much. I was, you know, just about died having that wonderful little baby. But it set me back. You know, it set me back in my business life for years.
Tell us more about that. You've got two kids, and there's a third.
I have three daughters, mm-hmm. and they're 12 years apart, and... The oldest is the newest. She came to me. She's my birth daughter, and I had placed her for adoption when I was 17. So she's only come into my life the last 18 months. And we're just in. We're a mother daughter now. She calls me Mama. The kids call me Nani. She's got four kids. They're my newest surprise grandchildren. So
did she find you, or you found her?
Yeah, it was a closed adoption. I actually tried to meet her a couple times, but she wasn't ready. And then I really did a big bunch of forgiveness about that over the years and moved on and let it be neutral. And then when she was ready, after her mom had passed away for a year or so, she felt like that was the time. So anyway, you just don't know what's around the corner. So this is, again, this is God's idea of fulfillment. Sometimes, like, you know, one day, this is not about the daughters, but one day I got up and opened up my email and there was this little... email that says discussing your forgiveness training in Kuwait. And I kind of laughed. I thought, oh, that's funny. For a minute, I thought you said Kuwait. You know?
Yeah, right.
And I opened it up. Oh, they are writing me from Kuwait to come teach a group of Muslim women my forgiveness method, which, guess what, translates beautifully to Islam. There's no problem. And I went to the other side of the world with a good buddy and hung out with these wonderful, powerful, fantastic Muslim women who were learning my forgiveness method in Kuwait. That was God's idea. I wouldn't have come up with that. And, you know, all the doors open for it. And there's been a few things like that with my books and my audio books. I have audio books because I just followed my intuition. And after I had done every last thing I could think of on my current business plan, I thought, I don't know. And I went shopping at the store and bumped into someone in the produce section who was a big fan of mine. She hired me for two big gigs that also led to meeting the audio company that did my audiobooks. That's because I went to buy broccoli, you know?
Yeah.
God's idea.
Yeah.
For her to be there when I went there. And so, I, like I said, I have this sort of peace and despair at the same time about all my efforts at business planning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know.
Do you feel there's any connection between writing the plan, getting clear on what your thoughts are, and then letting it go and see how it manifests?
Well, in my experience, it kind of didn't manifest, was the problem. I would get very detailed and I would work it a while and things wouldn't open. It wouldn't open for me because, like, it was coming from my brain. It was coming from my brain trying to read the market and trying to, like, see the trends or whatever.
Yeah.
But something else opened, something else I wasn't thinking of.
Yeah. Okay. Because,
and this is, I hope I'm not discouraging your listeners who are hoping for better results from good business planning, because I know plenty of people that do really great with that. And it's really a friend and an anchor for them. It just hasn't worked for me because I think I'm just on kind of some kind of a God program in this lifetime.
Well, and I think there's, we could possibly do a little bit of a reframe.
Okay.
Okay. Because I've never had the experience where the business planning hasn't worked, but I have had what you write down ends up not exactly showing up in the way that you thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happened to me many times with the planning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about how to get my work out there. I'm putting the plan together. Or like even this podcast, I was trying to figure out a platform for getting myself out there in a way that it was outside of an institution.
Mm-hmm.
But the software platform to make that happen was just out of reach because mm-hmm. I was a for-profit, so I couldn't get the nonprofit mm-hmm. prices.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, you know, I got to get this out there. I can't figure it out right now.
Mm-hmm.
So then I let it go. And then all of a sudden, like last year, the pieces started coming together for the podcast.
Mm, nice.
Yeah. And this is like so much better than I could have ever planned for.
Yeah.
But I see that happening all the time with people
mm-hmm.
because the act of you taking action to really get clear on what it is you want actually comes to manifest in, but it's never the way I think it's going
right.
to be.
I have a way of framing it too. That's maybe you can hold these side by side, and that is that I feel like making the plan and working it to the best of your ability, really sincerely, and you know, taking those risks and making those calls and getting that out there, sort of thing. And even when you're like in the weeds and nothing's working and you don't know what to do next, but you keep doing it, I feel like you're telling the universe you're serious. You're telling the universe, mm-hmm. no, really, I want this. No, seriously.
I don't care what you throw my way.
I'm doing this. I'm doing this. Exactly. So I think that's what happened to me in the produce department is like, you know, I was beached like a beached whale, you know, with this like 4-month-old infant after this terrible birth and this terrible pregnancy, and my husband was terribly ill, and I was nursing her, and I had about 2 hours a day that I could actually make phone calls, business phone calls, to get my work going again. And so in that 2 hours, I would just sit down and focus and center and be confident and get on that phone, make 10 phone calls, none of which yielded anything, and then felt like, well, I said it. I told the universe, I'm serious. I'm going to do this again tomorrow. And then I went out to the produce department to get my broccoli. And there is this person who's hiring me
yeah.
for two keynotes that also led to the audiobooks. So I feel like it's like in the old, on the farm days when you had to prime a pump,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. and you just move that handle up and down, up and down, up and down. And it feels like fruitless for a while. It's really empty. But then the pressure, the vacuum changes, and then the pressure builds, and then the water starts gushing out. But you have to keep moving the handle.
Yeah.
You can't stop halfway through and say, oh, this water's not coming. You
right.
have to just keep moving the handle until the pressure changes enough that the water gushes.
Yeah. And part of what you're talking about, too, is sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be a telesalesperson for the Minnesota Special Olympics. So after the first week I was there, I became the number one person in the state.
Mm.
My numbers were really good. And I had one off week in the 5 months that I was there
oh.
where it was just really strange. You know, like, what is going on? But it was something that, you know, is just beyond your control.
Mm-hmm.
But the manager really knew how to work me, you know, with motivating me to like stay steady, because you know, 5 hours of phone calling every night.
Right.
You know, that's a lot of dialing.
Yeah.
But I was really good with the numbers
mm-hmm.
and figuring it out, and then sitting in my chair differently or whatever. But
resetting your attitude.
Yeah. But I'd bike there. I'd listen to motivational tapes.
Kept your energy high.
Yeah, exactly. Watched what I was eating. And then I thought, you know, I'm kind of good at this. I wonder what the numbers are for the National mm-hmm. Special Olympics. And so I found out what the numbers were. And then I told my manager, I think I can do it.
Mm.
And so I did it. It took me 5 months.
That's a go-getter.
Got there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, job is done. I'm out of here.
Oh.
He's like, what? He said, well, how about if you, you know, can you be the manager here? And I'm like, I just reached my goal.
I just did that. I feel complete. It's been great. Peace out.
Right. Yeah. Like 5 years later, I went back there and I was still the number one in the nation.
Oh, good
so
for you.
It was just a kind of a cool accomplishment.
Yeah.
But what I learned the most is with sales, it's like you have to understand the numbers. You have to understand your numbers.
Mm.
Your numbers are different than mine. And how a sales come to you, like, you know, how many times do I need to hear no before I hear yes?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so I would, I'm a counter. I always count.
Oh.
Because then it takes it out of
it's not personal.
Getting my ego
yeah.
stuck in, I'm not good enough.
Right.
So this way, it's not about me not being good enough.
It's about and you keep going to make that
I'm super clear
call.
On the message.
Yes.
And I know exactly what I'm doing. And I think that people need it.
Mm-hmm.
And that has always been...
And you have a great voice. That didn't hurt anything. Yeah. You've got a very warm and full and,
thank you.
Forward kind of voice. I'm sure people paused to listen to you when you called.
Oh, yeah, I could never do it now. I mean, because with caller ID and stuff.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
Yeah,
it's
you know,
a different
it's just
game.
So difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right. Well, can you believe that we, you know, blew through another 25 minutes?
I can. I really can believe it. Yes, yes.
All right. Well, we would love to have you back.
Oh, sure.
And I'll we, I say we because I'm in this with Mike Cabea, my sound engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always working together on editing and photography and everything that has to do with the site. And then my husband, Matthew Foley, helps me with the editing.
Oh, nice.
He's a very good editor.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So circle
we
the
We didn't even get around
team.
To talking about the 8 steps of forgiveness.
All right. Well, we're going to have you come back to do that.
Or they can, if they're impatient until that happens, they
yes.
can pop on the forgivenesstraining.com website and study up.
That
it's
sounds
easy.
Great. Great. Well, thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing part of your journey. And the next time you're here, I'd like to even go deeper into your journey. I think how you have worked through all the things that have been stepping in front of you is really amazing. I just think the strength of your character
is incredible. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk a little taller when I walk out of here tonight. I'm going to hold my head up.
Excellent. Great. All right. So we'll have you back and we will continue our conversation. Thanks, Mike, for being so supportive and always here as a sound engineer and everything else. And for our listeners, thanks again for tuning in. I appreciate you so much. Gather as much as you can from these stories. They're really profoundly moving. I think that fundamentally we need to hear these kind of stories as a small business owner on the path. So stay tuned. I'll keep them coming. All right. Thanks so much. See you next Monday.